Turn now to John's Gospel, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. All right, would you please stand again? John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live by me. Would you read that with me? As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Even he shall live by me, if he eats me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of God ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." Now, verse 63, read it with me. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, you, they are spirit, they are life. Now, turn back to John 10 to recapture that, because these things must penetrate into your mind and go deeply into our hearts if they indeed are to accomplish what they're sent to do in this hour. All right. They must be more than information. They must be more than making us aware of something. Now, verse 3, and read it with me. To him of John 10, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He leads them out of fear, out of insecurity, out of anxiety, out of illnesses, out of sicknesses, out of alcohol, out of drugs, out of lustful thinking, out of poor self-images, out of problems in the flesh and problems in economy. He leads them out. Now, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. They're following the healer. They're following their provision. They follow him. And the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. There is no confusion. They have no confusion. There's no saying, "Do you think this is of God?" They just know his voice. Why? The words that he speaks, they are spirit, and they are life, and they are spoken to you. And now, a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," always talking to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The real sheep never listen to the thieves and never listen to the robbers. Some people go for days and years having bad feelings because they've been listening to strangers' voice, then they get right, then they hear the strangers' voice again. They never exercise their will in the fleeing process. In other words, you've got to think back to hear the next sentence. And you've got to think back before you speak for the stranger's voice. All right. Now, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find tremendous pasture. The thief cometh, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You may be seated. Father, bless this portion in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When God was speaking to Mary in Luke 1:38, Mary said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word," or to your word. Let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be unto me, she said, according to your word. I want to say to you what she said this morning. She said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." That's what she said. And that's exactly what God wants. What was going to happen to Mary was a supernatural miracle of conception through the Holy Spirit with the sinless seed coming from the Holy Spirit, and of course not having the female aspect involved in her old sin nature. And what happened was this. When the Spirit of God came to her and the angel came, "Let it be unto me according to your word." Now, no doubting, no stranger's voices. No thinking beyond that word. No reacting beyond those exact words. None. This week, on several occasions, I have seen this principle work beyond human understanding, beyond human comprehension. When the Word of God, speaking to the child of God, did something miraculous right on the spot, according to God's Word. Now, Jesus said, "Listen, if you will eat my flesh," that means substance, that means his character, his nature, his essence, his characteristics. "And drink my blood," that means constantly accept the blood of the new covenant with grace and mercy and love with my holy characteristics. Do you understand this? In other words, on one hand, you're to eat my righteousness, my holiness, my characteristics, my nature, my essence, my attributes. You are to eat them. And you do that by being a partaker of my divine nature through the exceeding great and precious promises, and you escape corruption that's in the world system. Then next, as you eat, for example, my character of holiness, and yet you have an old sin nature, you understand you must drink my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the blood of forgiveness, the blood of cleansing, the blood where you are being cleansed all the time from all your sins before a holy Father. You must drink the blood of grace, the blood of mercy, the blood of the new covenant, the blood of the throne, the blood of life, where God gives you his life because he shed his blood. And that blood is constantly sprinkling your conscience and sprinkling your soul to purify it and purge it over and over again throughout the day. So, what God is saying here, it is very possible for me to be a Christian and live upon yesterday's experience or re-echo last month's blessing and have it be totally void of any help today. This is why the manna in Exodus 16, they had to receive it fresh every morning. And if they kept it beyond noon, it spoiled, even though it came from heaven. I cannot get victory over something God told me yesterday. I cannot receive help over something God gave me last month. God wants an ongoing, intimate, personal fellowship with me where he speaks to me today, where I eat his flesh continually, or the substance of his characteristics today, where I drink his blood today. Now, I'll guarantee you, totally unintentionally, that without even reckoning what I'm speaking of this morning, that over 70% of the people here haven't been drinking the blood alone before they came to church and haven't been eating the substance of his character personally. It isn't that they did anything wrong. They were occupied with their schedules. They were occupied with their schedules. Instead of getting substance that controls the schedule. He said, I am the bread from heaven. And he said, when you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you not only live forever, but you have eternal life operating and functioning in you at this very moment. But that's not all. He says, a stranger's voice you will not hear. Well, what is a stranger's voice? I was afraid, so I hid in the garden. Fear. Or I sowed fig leaves and began to establish a self-defense apron because I wasn't satisfying to God or to my conscience. What is a stranger's voice? You're not going to make it. And you act angry and ugly and resentful. You've been relating to a voice. You've been responding to a voice that is not God. You've been accepting a voice that is not heaven. It's not the voice of the blood that speaks better things than Abel. It's not the voice of life. The stranger's voice is the voice of death. Spiritually to you. It's a voice of insecurity. It's a voice of failure. It's a voice of accusation. It's a voice of guilt. It's a voice of condemnation. It's a voice to incapacitate your soul. It's a voice to get you relate to more strangers and to get you communicate from your soul as a stranger to God's voice. It's to get you to reflect what the stranger's voice says and to communicate from your soul so that you, the Christian, become the stranger's voice to others. And what Satan is after is to compound Christianity through communication by getting them to express themselves as strangers' voices. Anything that I say that doesn't build me up in the new covenant, that doesn't build me up in the character of God's nature, is a stranger's voice. Anything I hear is a stranger's voice. I would like to say this today. Jesus said, listen, in verse 22, he made this statement in John 6. And in John 6, 62, he said, I am the source of the words. I am the source of the words. In verse 63, he says, inasmuch as I am the source of the words that I speak to you, and I call you by name, and you hear my voice, and you follow me, and a stranger's voice you will not follow. So he said, not only am I the cause and the source, but this is the effect. You are quickened in the Spirit with life, my life. You are quickened with my life for your memory, for your conscience, for your mind, for your plans, for your business, for your marriage, through your personal life, through your individual single life, through the life of a widow, the life of sickness. I quicken you inside of you with my life, and my word quickens you. And the flesh profits nothing in its mechanical approach to the Scriptures. But the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, what is God teaching us? He's teaching us the most amazing principle. That every morning, much better than the manna that came from heaven, he wants to say, Ken, Wendy, Vernon, and to have every individual live in a relationship with him where he calls them their first name. And then he instructs them. And by his personal instructions, they don't think back to the heart that condemns them. They don't think back to anything source is in the old sin nature. Now, you've got to think back before you can confess something. Let me illustrate it. God says, I'm healed, and I have a pain. So my mind tells me, if I'm healed, why do I have this pain? So I think back. Then I tell you about my pain. Well, if God really told me I'm healed, then the fact that I'm not healed is a stranger's voice. So I had to think back. Then I had to communicate what the stranger's voice said. Then it makes you feel bad for me. So you hear my stranger's voice. Do you understand this? So fleeing from the stranger means I don't think back. And if I don't think back, then I don't in any way think. You're healed in the name of Jesus Christ, totally from the soles of your feet under your head in Jesus' name. That's from God. You're healed in the name of Jesus Christ, from this moment forward, forever, in the name of the presence and the Holy Spirit, Jesus' name. Now, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. No death in them. Not a thing from the source of the old sin nature is in those words. The source is God. The effect is life. The communication is words. And the person is you. Do you understand this? Well, what does it mean? It means that this kind of believer cannot be touched. If you've ever wondered why 1 John 5:19 says the wicked one toucheth him not, it's because he doesn't think back. He flees from any voice that isn't finished work, edification in the throne of grace, personally given in the soul. Doesn't think back. Everything in this life is to get the believer to think back to the strangest voices in the air, through people, through carnality, through ignorance, through the old sin nature as a source. Everything is designed to get you to think back. Every test God brings is to get you to respond to the other kingdom and think back instead of thinking in favor of God's plan in the test. As a means of promoting you forever. Now listen carefully. It says, many of them believe not. Even after he said this, they believe not. They were offended, and they said it was a hard saying. I mean, he's given them himself, imparted to their soul, and they were offended at his approach or the communication of his words. They didn't understand him. Now, I want you to notice when Charles Spurgeon said, after being sick and ill with his wife sometimes in a wheelchair, he asked God, why? And every morning when he woke up, the first morning he wept, God said, Charles, and he twisted over and turned over in bed. And God said, Charles, inaudibly, but clear as a bell, inaudibly. And he said, yes, Lord. He said, you're ready to start out this day with me. You've been defeated and depressed. You felt rejected. You can't understand the trials of your faith, that patience must have its perfect work. And Charles Spurgeon, every day of his life, every victory he ever had, came from God saying, Charles. And when he wouldn't quickly respond, he would hear the inaudible voice, Charles. It's much different when it's on a first name basis with the King of Kings, the Conqueror of Conquerors, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the Savior, the Ruler of the Universe, the Lover of the Heart, the Forgiver of man's sins, the cleanser of the soul, calling you by your first name. Well, Father, forgive us, all of us, including me, for listening to strangers' voices that didn't edify, didn't build up, didn't help, then finally communicating as a stranger, when Jesus is living inside of me, ready to manifest his life and make it visible through me. I want you to notice in Romans, the fourth chapter, and notice it, please, as it is written, the 17th verse, speaking of Abraham, I have made thee father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See, I don't know how many times this past 3 years God has called my attention of things he's going to do that haven't happened yet. And I forgot them. And I think sometimes by reflection, because of circumstances, I passively didn't believe them. Do you understand? And now God is quickening me to those promises and quickening me to the reality that they have to come to pass. And it's the same with each of you. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. See, when God speaks, he's working in a James 1 process, the patience of faith, until patience has its perfect work in some areas. Other areas, he'll do it this morning. Other areas, he'll seal it this morning. Now, hear me again. Some areas, he's going to do it right now. Whatever it is, miraculously in your life. Other areas, he's going to seal something that he's going to do as if it was done, and you're going to know it because he's going to tell you. Do you understand? Now, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Here it is. The stranger's voice said, you're 99. Don't be fanatical. Don't be outrageous. And don't be crazy. You're not going to be the father of a child. You must have not heard God's voice years ago. Now, the moment Abraham would say, and he, in all honesty, with no joking, undoubtedly he looked at his feeble body. And it was a terrible looking body. I mean, the way it reads, it was an old body. And he looked at it. Now, the stranger's voice said, you didn't hear God's voice. It will not happen. Evidence. Your age, and you've been impotent for years, it's not going to happen. Now, that stranger's voice seemingly was very legitimate, based upon what? Sight and earthly facts. Is this right? But then notice this. But when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, at the age of 100, God bless his heart, no wonder he's the father of our faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That doesn't mean that Abraham just simply believed. He gave God glory in that amazing, helpless condition. He didn't waver. See, wavering is listening to a stranger's voice. He didn't stagger at something that the Word had said. But instead of that, he gave glory to God in that state of being 100 and no possible means of ever having the child of promise. Oh, if you could see that this morning, because we are Abraham's children by faith. And God speaks to you and calls you by name. And God has a plan for your life just as good as His. God has a purpose for you. God has amazing things that He wants to do through you. And if you could just understand this principle this morning, it's the stranger's voices. The thief steals, robs, kills, and destroys. A stranger's voice that shouts condemnation. A stranger's voice would like to get some people not hearing the messages here weekly. Move out somewhere where they don't hear this revival word. A stranger's voice. Trying to get some guys not to be here at college this year. Stranger's voices. Stranger's voices saying you can't pay your bills because of what you see in your budget. A stranger's voice. But if God sent you to this college, if God sent you in this ministry, stagger not at the promises of God through unbelief, but give glory to God and do not waver by listening to a stranger's voice. Sign up, come to some classes, and obey God and give glory to Him with your faith obedience. In Romans 1:5. God has a way, and He, being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to Him for righteousness. Now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believed on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, I want you to notice this principle. This is given for us. I speak to you. Oh, listen. In John's Gospel 7, verse 18, the Word of God says, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own." How many times do we speak of ourselves? I'm lonely. My husband's gone. I have to bring up my children. That's speaking of yourself. People don't understand me. That's speaking of yourself. Things haven't been working out. That's speaking of yourself. And you're speaking as a stranger to faith, a stranger to grace, a stranger to love of self, a stranger to peace, a stranger to honor. You're outside of God's kingdom in your thinking. Your thinking is in response to a stranger. Jesus said in John 12:49, he said, "I didn't speak of myself." He said, "What I told you was from the Father." And may I say, I'm not speaking of myself this morning, though I'm a sinner and though I'm imperfect. I'm not speaking of myself. I'm speaking the Word of God, and God gave this message, and the Spirit gave this message, and this message can revolutionize your mind, your soul, your individual lives. It can revolutionize your future. It can turn your world upside down, because God wants intimacy with you. He wants to speak to you on a first-name basis every morning, every noon, according to the full canon of Scriptures, but in the spirit of principles that the Holy Spirit illuminates from those Scriptures, so it will not be the letter, but it will be the Spirit that doesn't detach itself from the letter, but it may not even mention the letter when it's revealed to you in the principle of the Spirit, but it will be the principle of the Spirit. Well, I want to say this in closing. I believe then, if this is true, and it sure is true, I believe that when God said, "Samuel, Samuel," and he didn't hear, and he went to Eli, and God said, "Samuel, Samuel," and he went to Eli, and God said, "Samuel, Samuel," and then he said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Speak, Lord, about anything, about everything, thy servant heareth. I'm going to hear you speak to me on a first name basis. Speak, thy servant heareth. I heard him this morning. I heard him before I got out of bed. I heard him out in the porch. I heard him at the prayer altar. I heard him at the study desk. I heard him this morning. All this morning I've been listening to him. And some of you have. Some of you have. And more of you will hear him this afternoon. I mean, he doesn't speak discouragement. He doesn't speak to produce fear. He doesn't address your failure. He addresses your faith through the words that he speaks to you. They are words to build you up. They are words to edify you. They are words to make you feel like a prince and a king, because that's what you are. You are a king. You are a prince. But a king and a prince must hear from their Lord to utilize their princehood and to understand the kingdom. You are God's son. Now he wants to manifest his life in your sonship. You are God's child. He does know you by name and calls you by name. And listen, no matter what happens pertaining to waiting for something, never waver nor stagger at the promises. And do not let Satan steal your faith and rob your capacity for love and worship. Don't do it. He'll give you the best marriage that anybody's ever had. He'll give you the best single life in your training that anyone's ever had. He'll give you the best young life you've ever had as a teenager. He'll give you the best old age life you've ever had. He'll give you the best one. He'll give you the best life you've ever had. He will speak to your bones and to your disease and to your body, because I'm only quoting the scriptures here. Proverbs 4, 21 and 22, the Word of God is health to your bones. So the Word of God will be health to your bones, organically. Health to your bones. Let the Word of God come to you as health to your bones, and health to your lungs, and health to your heart condition, and health to the cancer, and health to your emotions. See, that's what this is all about. Hear me. And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, and your servant heareth." And God wants to bring in His life and have it literally function and be manifested in you. Now, that's what revival is. It's when a child of God is quickened exactly like the promises promise to quicken him. Don't go around saying somebody did this and somebody did that. Who cares? That's being occupied with something that doesn't build up. It doesn't edify. It's not life. That's why I'll never let anybody come to me and tell me wild stories, because those are strangers' voices to the cross. Listen. He said, you'll go in and you'll go out and you'll find pastures. And I'll close with this. It was said to Israel in Isaiah 43:19, I will make all things new. I will do something new in the wilderness. I will make all things new. Well, isn't that what the Spirit of God tries to say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are already passed away, and all things have already become new. Oh, if we could just get the New Testament commentary of an Old Testament's truth and have it be for us in application and analogy. I'm saying to you today that there isn't anything in Jeremiah 18:14, in Genesis 18:14, there isn't anything too hard for God. Is there anything too hard for God? There isn't anything too hard for God. Luke 1:37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. What's impossible for men is possible for God in Matthew 19:26. So, let God bring in the life. He'll be the source. The words will be the life to your spirit, and you'll experience the effect, which is the quickening of life in all areas. Let God give you dreams, and let God open up possibilities for you, for your family, for you individually. Let God open up new channels, and let God open up a new kind of faith, and a new kind of world, and a new kind of being, and a new kind of purpose all the time. And hear Him speak this noon. And hear Him speak without striving, without mechanically approaching God. Hear Him speak according to His Word. He'll always speak from a throne. And the throne will always be merciful. And the throne will always be gracious. And the throne will always help. And the throne is a new and living way which offers you help in the state that you're now in, and loves you in that state, in that condition. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your personal Savior and you'd like to, say, Father, forgive me, cleanse me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart to live, raise your hand. Father, forgive me, cleanse me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart to live, raise your hand. No one is looking. Put it way up. Thank you. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Put it up in the air. Every eye is closed. Thank you, sir. Keep your hand up. To the left, keep your hand up. Way up high, keep it up. In the middle, keep your hand up. Father, forgive me. Save me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart to live. Put your hand up. I'm personally receiving Christ as my Savior. Put your hand up. Put it way up high. Way up high. Father, forgive me, cleanse me, save me. Put your hand up. Now the Spirit of God is leading me to address marriages. Husbands, I'm addressing the husbands first. Will you trust God for this message and be humble enough and broken enough not to listen to strangers' voices, even if it's her fault? Will you start listening to God's voice and put your hand up, way up high? Keep them up. Keep them up. Father, men taking spiritual leadership in grace, men becoming a throne of grace for their wives, men becoming communicators of love to their wives, men becoming convicted to hear from God for their wives, I mean, in their relationship, that is, to their wives. Now, women that will go to God, that will listen to God, and let God speak to them in love and mercy, and they will not listen to a stranger's voice against their husband, from anybody or from their old sin nature. Raise your hand. Father, you see the many hands that are going up in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you for the many, many hands. Now, individuals who are single, God has spoken to this message, and you will quicken yourself to God's heartbeat to begin to grow in it and expand in it. Raise your hand. In Jesus' precious name, in Jesus' name, about every manner of life, you're really going to do it. No one's going to be a stranger's voice to you, and you're not going to think back to stranger's voices. Not only going to not speak, you're not going to what? Think back. The first thing is don't think back when the voice or the projection comes. Now, next, for businessmen. And God bless the businessmen, and I think they love God and they're doing great. I just want to help them even more. Raise your hand that you're going to follow God closely. All the way, in Jesus' name, many, many hands. You're going to believe God for miracles. You're going to believe God for miracles, but you're not going to approach it in worry. Worrying is a stranger's voice. You're not going to fear. It's a stranger's voice. You're not going to worry. You're not going to fear, but you are going to listen to God and hear His voice, what to do in the business and in the job, whatever it is. In Jesus' name, you're going to have a new dimension coming up that you've never had in your life. I believe that's what God spoke to me this morning. You may put your hands down. And okay. Now, Father, we thank you this morning. And we love you. And you're speaking to us on a first name basis. That's the point I wanted to get across. And we're hearing. And it's life to us. And we're not going to listen to a stranger's voice. We're not going to follow a stranger. And we're going to know God's voice. Amen? We know God's voice. It's not wavering. And we're not going to stagger at something He's promised, nor waver. And be weak to unbelief, but we're going to be strong in faith, be fully persuaded, and be convinced. All right, Father, that's this morning. We love you and thank you. Now, that's the secret of knowing God, is taking time to hear and to respond. I committed myself to God this morning to take time to hear and to respond beyond anything in my life. I told Him this morning I'm going to hear more than ever and respond more than ever beyond my schedule. Beyond my schedule. In other words, despite my schedule. That's what I want you to think of. Instead of rushing out that door, eternity is far more important than getting out that door. Now, say it with me. Praise Him and thank Him. I'm going to take time to hear. I'm going to take time to respond. And listen to this. I'm going to take time to believe. It takes time to believe for a specific thing. It takes time to believe for a specific thing. In Jesus' precious name, give Him, everyone, give Him a wave offering. And tell Him how much you personally love Him. Address Him personally. Address Him personally. Tell Him how much you love Him. That's responding. We heard His words. Now let's respond personally to His words that were personal to us. Father, we love you. I love you, dear Jesus. I love you, dear Father. I love you, dear Holy Spirit. I love you. I'll obey you. I'll humble myself and obey you. I'll take a step of faith. I'll worship you. I'll let you address me, and I'll respond in discipline of love and grace. I thank you. I thank you. You've done this for me. I'm speaking for individuals, all of us, but I want to show you how personal it should be privately. You have healed me. I thank you for healing me. You spoke to me something from heaven about marriage. I heard you. I received it. I respond to you. See? Makes all the difference in the world about giving in. You spoke to me about business. I respond to you, whatever it is. You spoke to me about my personal thought life, and I respond to you. I heard you, and I respond to you. It all becomes personal in a living relationship. I have no stubbornness in me. I have no resentment. I have no bitterness reserved. I have no anger. I have no fear. I have no unbelief in me. I won't listen to it. I have none of that in me. Oh, it's in Adam, but it's not in me, because I am in Christ. It's in Adam. And I've got to go in Adam to revive all that stuff that always comes every time I go to him. That's in me, but I'm not in Adam. I'm in Christ. So I feel I'm free today, and I don't think I'm presuming to be free. I feel you have freed me, and I thank you that I am free because of you. And I'm more than a conqueror. Whatever it is, I'm going to conquer. I'm going to reign and conquer. I'm just going to be a conqueror. I'm going to be a conqueror. Sure, it's all right for somebody else to be, but I'm going to be. Somebody else is successful. I'm going to be successful. Somebody else made it and they're being blessed. I'm making it. I'm going to be blessed. That's not ego, the way we're approaching it. Ego, that's an ego submitted to God. There's nothing wrong with that kind of ego. Okay. Father, we love you. Give him a wave offering. You know what? A stranger's voice wants to tell you, an ex-member from some church, wants to tell you that isn't right. Then they'll point out the losers. Say, but that stranger, I won't think back. Say it. I will not think back. I certainly am not going to speak back if I don't think back. You're not only defeating them when you don't speak back, but you're defeating the devil's kingdom when you don't think back. It's another way of bringing every thought into obedience to Christ's thoughts, isn't it? Dismiss us, Father, in Jesus' precious holy name.